Dad, I got a fish!
Father's Day, a day to say thanks to the most important guy in the world. This year, get him what he really wants at Cabela's Father's Day Sale. Take 40% off Cabela's Tourney Trail Rods, $200 off a Traeger Liltex Pro Bronze Grill, and $30 off Merrill Reflex Hikers and Mocs. Plus, spend $150 and get $25 in Cabela's Bucks, good on your next purchase. Minimum purchase required. See store for details. Come to Cabela's Father's Day Sale. In-store and online at Cabela's.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AMAA, Martial Arts Masters, Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the American Martial Arts Alliance. Dedicated to building the awareness of professionalism in the martial arts through martial arts management and student development.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to our show today. I'd like to start off by thanking our sponsors, AppBill 101, Sportsters of Durham, and the 2016 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Autobiography Book. The American Martial Arts Alliance, we're dedicated to improving the quality of the martial arts, building a strong focus and belief in the martial arts, and planning for the future. One of the things that we're focusing on this year as we are approaching the 2016 AMAA Mega Weekend is to interview some of the greatest martial artists in the country. You know, this weekend in the Battle of Atlanta, we have guests from all over the country coming into the Battle of Atlanta, celebrating with Grandmaster Corley and all the other Grandmaster Smith and all the other great martial artists that are going to be there. And today we have on the call Grandmaster Dennis Brown. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Master Bowen? Good to be on with you.
Yes, sir. It is so awesome. I mean, thank you for, you know, taking the time. I know your schedule is pretty hectic. You know, one of the things that we started off on, you know, last year when we produced Who's Who in the Martial Arts was to, build a recognition and knowledge base of who are some of the pioneers in the martial arts, who are some of the people that are doing extraordinary things, and also to discover those people that may be in small towns, but they're making major contributions to the community, and publishing them in the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Autobiography Book. And I know that, you know, for you, who is going to be one of our inductees into our book and hopefully have you at our event, you know, I thought it was very important to share, you know, your story. And everybody's got a story. And now we say your story is what makes you famous. But for the young martial artists that are coming up, trying to discover their ways and find out, I think it's important that we sort of leave a legacy or a path that they can follow in. And I know that you've been in the martial arts for a great number of years. You've had major contributions to the martial arts. So I just want to sort of share some of those things. And also for myself, you know, I've been reading your bio, you know, but I know that there's so many things that are left out. So I wanted to try to, you know, chat with you a little bit and help everyone else discover who is Grandmaster Dennis Brown. So, sir, let's start off by, you know, telling us a little bit about you.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got one of those really long stories. I've been around since I first started in 1964, believe it or not. So I've got about 51 years in, long before there was any real martial arts in our area. We had a lot of martial arts schools, but not nearly as many as we have now. And I never thought that I'd be doing this 51 years later. I thought I'd have a real job somewhere, not just teaching kung fu full time. That was what my mother said after I turned 65. I'm 69 now, but at 65, she said, you know, that kung fu has been good for you for about 50 years, but don't you think it's time you get a real job? So, you know, it's something I've dedicated my life to, and I found out she wasn't wrong because I haven't really had a job. If you would ask me, what do I think about the martial arts? I don't think it's a job. I think it's a calling. It's something that we do.
Now, that's well said. I know my parents said the same thing to me. I'm, you know, marking 40 years in the martial arts and, you know, 36 years in business. And that's the first thing my dad said when I told him I was going to open up a karate school. You know, son, you need to really get you a really good job. And, you know, and this has been, like, it's a calling. And from that, you develop other things about yourself. So what is the name of your school, sir?
Well, you know, it's, we call it Dennis Brown Shaolin Wushu Training Center. I started out like everybody else is just a Shaolin Kung Fu school, but that didn't really describe it. And then we were Academy, Dennis Brown Shaolin Wushu Academy. But I realized that I wanted to do more than just teach martial arts. I don't think that if all we do is teach martial arts, that describes what martial arts, the impact it has on the community. We're basically a training center. I don't think that we're just teaching you martial arts for the sake of martial arts or defending yourself. I think that martial arts is anything that defends oneself. I like to think that we are in the business, and I jokingly tell people, I haven't actually been in the martial arts business, and I teach kung fu. I haven't been in the kung fu business for probably 25 years. They go, what do you mean? I said, I think somewhere along the line I realized that I'm in the character development business through teaching martial arts. I think that we're training tomorrow's leaders. We're taking the small acorns and growing the mighty oaks, because what we do in martial arts is going to make change lives. It's going to make a difference in the future for a lot of folks. And people don't realize that the teachings of martial arts, not just the fighting, not just the kicking and punching and blocking and who can knock who out and who can win this title and that title, but the effects that stay with you long after you can't remember the katas and the weapons and the forms and, you know, your trophies have all fallen over. You know how that is. After a while, they just fall over. The lessons of martial arts will be there. And in my years, I've had thousands upon thousands of students, because I've had at least 9 schools at one time, and we've been around, like I said, for teaching actually schools for 46 years. And so we've taught that. And in all those years, I can't remember anybody calling me and saying, Master Brown, I want to thank you because some guys jumped me at the bus stop and I was able to hook kick this one and knock that one out and do this. They all say, you know, when I went to school, the lessons that I learned in martial arts, the stick-to-itiveness, the yes, I can kind of things you learn in martial arts, what I learned when I went into service, the discipline helped me to succeed, my family, how I teach my kids, my job, just the lessons of martial arts have made a big difference in my life. And I started to realize that's the real value of martial arts. I like to fight. I mean, I like to form, and I've done all of that. As you know, I've been around on the tournament circuit for years. But I think the true value of what we do is training and is your legacy. And it's not how many bricks you broke or how many tournaments you won or didn't win. But I think you say, look back at my students. And look what they've done with their lives, and judge me by what has happened with them, not by how many magazine covers I have on my wall or that type thing. So for me, it has moved away from just how many people I can beat at whatever forms, weapon fighting, breaking, all those things. It's moved on past who has the most schools and who has the most students. It's, I guess, because I get older, I wonder, have I made a difference? And I like to think that martial arts has given me the ability to do that.
So that's well said. I think if you've been into martial arts and you have now, you know, applied your learning from a good foundation and you move forward, you now apply that, because the more that you're doing, the more that you're trying to do to enhance yourself, it becomes a natural thing for you to enhance someone else. The great teachers, you want to be a great teacher, you learn, and then you teach someone else. Now, I know in the starting in the martial arts, most people are influenced by, you know, by the movies, they're influenced by a need, and, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. So tell me a little bit, you know, what was the influence, you know, to you, you know, coming up to enter the martial arts?
That's a good question. You know, in 1964, I went to a high school here in the Washington, D.C. area, which were city champions in football, basketball, baseball, and track, all the four big ones. It was an amazing public school. But, you know, I was too short for basketball, too little for football, too slow for track, and to this day, I still can't catch a baseball. And so I it was kind of hard for me to find something where I fit in. I was always that guy in the glee club, or I was in the singing groups and all those kind of things. But I stumbled into a martial arts class in the basement, because back then they didn't really have a lot of martial arts schools. There were no kung fu schools. But I found a little group of guys that were working in the basement of a middle school, Banneker, and they were teaching this stuff that wasn't even called Kung Fu then, Chuan Fa, the way of the fist. And I had never heard, I knew about karate. I'd taken a few classes, tried some judo, but got thrown once and realized, okay, I don't like hitting the ground. And I'd taken some other things, but I ran into these guys, and they were doing this Chinese martial arts. And there was no Carradine at that time. There was no Bruce Lee. It was just a bunch of guys and who had, was learning pretty much from the movies. And I jumped in that class, and I found out, you know what, I was pretty good at it. This is something that I could do. It had nothing to do with my size or any of those type things. This is something that was just skill-oriented, and I fell in love with it. And next thing I know, I spent the next 5-6 years just, you know, studying. We really didn't have a school. We would work out in the Malcolm X Park. We would work out in any field. We would literally, most people that know my story know I tell them that we would literally get in my little Volkswagen, 5 or 6 of us, and we'd drive 4 hours from Washington, D.C. to New York every weekend as soon as we got out of school or got off from work or what have you, and we'd watch kung fu movies in Chinatown up there. They had 5 theaters that showed double features. We'd watch 10 of those bad boys, and the wee hours of the night we'd be driving back half asleep, or I'd be driving because everybody else would sleep, and we would practice literally what we had learned. But nobody knew what it was that we were doing. So I kind of backed into it, never thought it was something I was going to be in the rest of my life, but I knew it was something that I could do, that I could control. And who knew that I'd end up being one of the first 5 Americans to ever go into mainland China to study at the Shaolin Temple. So, you know, it was a long journey between the 64 and 82 when I did that. But and again, there's a lot of story in between. But that's kind of how I got into it. I didn't go looking for it. It was just something I found. Here's something I could do.
Well, that's pretty amazing because I used to do the same thing. You know, Black Belt Theater would come on, and I'd sit up all night, watch these movies. And if I'd been to a tournament, I'd take and bring up my reel, and because we didn't have video cameras during that time, and I'd watch what I did from the tournaments, and I'd stay up and study myself as I study all the other martial arts movies that I was watching. You know, and this is a really key element. I always say to people that there are 3 things that happen in the martial arts. You have the person that will take martial arts, the person that will do martial arts, but the masters and the great black belts become the people that study the martial arts. Not only your system, but you study other things, and you're constantly trying to evolve and trying to improve the quality of yourself. So tell us about your system. Is it a kung fu system, or have you studied other martial arts systems before also?
Well, you know, I tapping on that, you know, I've always said I believe that I'm a student of the martial arts, and that means all martial arts. And in the 60s, early 60s, it was a group of us, Kung Fu Joe and Spanish Joe and Jimmy Yee and all these cool names that I was working out with. It was just a bunch of guys, young guys that got together and trained. No formal training, just wherever we could pick up a move, we'd be out there working it. And somewhere in the late 60s, I think around 68, I actually joined Grandmaster Jun Ri and got into Taekwondo because I just wanted to get into a formal school, and there was really no schools I could get into. And I studied with him for a number of years. And it's strange because a few years ago, about 4 years ago, he finally gave me a black belt in Taekwondo, honorary, I like to tell you, because he just said, I've always been a part of his organization. I've always followed him and revered him, but I never did that. But what the system is that I actually studied somewhere after being with him for a number of years, I knew that I still wanted to stay in Kung Fu. I ran into my instructor in 1971. This was Grandmaster Lin Shi Kwan, or Willie Lin. He's actually out of New York right now. But I became his senior disciple, his senior student, I should say. And I spent the next 10 years. I gave up my good government job because being in D.C., if you didn't have a good government job, you weren't working. And I gave up my good government job, gave him a 2-week notice, and went off to study full time with him and help him run his school. And for 10 years, that's all I did was study directly under my instructor. So I was very blessed to be able to do that. And I studied that. Now, along the way, did I train with other systems? I tried to learn everything that I could. But the only other system, it sounds kind of duplicating here when I say that I also studied Wushu, because in 1982, after 10 years or more of studying Kung Fu directly with my instructor and 5 years of just bootlegging, I got invited with four other people to go to mainland China, which, you know, at that time they called Red China. And nobody had ever been in the communist China to study Kung Fu. And we got a chance to go in, and we were the first ones to go in. And I got a chance to learn the start studying with some of the best Kung Fu stylists that you'd ever see. But the Wushu was a whole nother level of martial arts. I mean, that was the Jet Li kind of stuff. Bruce Lee was out of Hong Kong, and that we were kind of all our instructors came from Hong Kong and Taiwan. But this thing coming out of Beijing was a whole different dog. So I've studied that. And over the years, I've stayed with the Chinese arts because I studied Northern and Southern. I've studied Tai Chi, Bagua Xingyi. I've studied many different systems of martial arts. I do over 18 Chinese weapons and four or five different internal systems. But I've always told people, I've studied in Taekwondo. They'll come in and see plaques on my wall, American Karate. They'll see black belt plaques on my wall for Goju Ryu, which was given to me by a Tiger and Crane group. But my system is Kung Fu. I'm a Chinese stylist, even though I've studied many, many, many styles. But I do consider myself a student of the art. So I can probably tell you as much about Tang Sudo and Taekwondo as I can about Kung Fu, because I study all systems. I study all systems of martial arts. I don't practice all of them.
Well, that's pretty amazing. And that's a really good point for young martial arts or anyone that's out there. That is the key. How do you keep longevity? What happens to the thousands of people that start in the martial arts and they don't continue? Somewhere they hit a bump in the road, and I know that we've all had those bumps in the road, that going to the next class is a tough thing to do. Life gets in the way, and we sort of get out of it, and we sort of lose that habit, that discipline, and pretty soon you're not even participating, you know, at all. And I know some things even happen with myself, but I started teaching when I was a green belt. I've never missed a day of not being connected, you know, to the martial arts, and it's paid for itself or in my future and the different things I've accomplished over and over again. Because as a teacher, you know, you're gifted to have those opportunities to meet people, to change their lives. And the more people that you can influence and change their life, then the more that your life is influenced and the more changes that you have in your life as a martial arts instructor, you know, when you're committing. And, you know, and as you know, and we'll get to that in a little bit, you know, about continuing to grow yourself, not only yourself, but your profession, your business, and how we're growing those things, you know, to continue that practice of the martial arts. What would you say, or how would you describe your overall life experience, you know, since you began your study or entry into the martial arts?
You know, the martial arts has taken me literally around the world. I'm a little kid from inner city D.C., little Rom Street, little shout out to the guys on Rom Street. You know, when you're in the city, your street was your community. But I've trained, as I said, I've trained all over China. I've been to Beijing and Shanghai and you name it, in Nanjing, any place that you want to go. I've been all over Europe. I've been to Africa. I've been to Israel. I've been to South America. And I keep telling them, I've been in Russia. I mean, I've gone to Siberia. I've been places that most people of my neighborhood, of my street, would never even think about going. And I know that it was because of martial arts. I'm still just this little kid from Rom Street that got into something that was so amazing that connected all people. Because you see, martial arts connects people in a way that nothing else does that I can think of. I mean, all races, all creeds, all nationalities, everybody are brothers in the martial arts. So it has given me a thing in life. I've been able to do things that I've never done before. I mentioned, like I said, I've traveled to China, but I've had TV shows. I've had radio shows. I've been to Hong Kong and done movies. I've got, if you go on Netflix right now, there's something called the Black Kung Fu Experience, where they have a documentary that they did, an hour-long documentary. Discovery. Imagine this kid from Rom Street. I had this Discovery Channel do an hour-long special on Secrets of the Warrior's Power on Shaolin Masters, and I'm the only non-Chinese in that that piece. Wesley Snipes' piece, Masters of the Martial Arts. And just recently, I had a piece done on ABC called How I Made It in America. Now, brother, I don't know if I've made it because I'm still working every day. But I'm wise enough to know that I've been allowed to do things through martial arts that I still wonder, how does a kid like me end up traveling the world, meeting the people that I've met? I've been everywhere, Ireland, I mean, you name it, England. I've been all over the world. And I tell people it's because of the martial arts. It brings people together. And I've been fortunate. You know, I give my big tournament every year with NASCAR and those that group. It's allowed me to meet people that I would never meet. Most of the major stars, I don't care if it's Bruce Lee, the Chuck Norris, I've met them all. I've met Tybo Man, Billy Blank, but they were all martial artists to me. When we met them, just like you, you know, they weren't great people. They were just martial artists. We were out there. Some of them we were trying to compete against. We were trying to beat. But they were just regular people. All the Ninja Turtles, everybody watched them on TV. And I said, guys, I knew all those guys. The Power Rangers, I knew most of those people. I mean, you name it, they've all been martial artists on a higher level. And because of the journey that I've been allowed to take in martial arts, I've met some of the greatest people, martial artists in the world, the Muhammad Ali's of our art, and Muhammad Ali for that matter. So I feel that martial arts and competition and is something that brings everybody together, and it gives you opportunities like nothing else. It defines your life.
I know, as a competitor, you know, I used to watch you and Cynthia Rothrock and all the greats, you know, years and years ago when you guys were competing. What would you say is a major tournament that you've participated in that's sort of memorable for you?
You know, I came up competing on the what we call the NASCAR circuit now, but it was the Karate Illustrated circuit back then with Renato Barden and all those guys. And I got a chance starting in 74 or so to start competing on that circuit. And, again, I competed at the Battle of Atlanta. At that time, forget it, the Battle of Atlanta was the tournament but on the East Coast. But if you went to the West Coast, I competed in Ed Parker's Long Beach National. You name it, I was in New York at the big event there. I mean, you name it, I competed in the major tournaments of that time. And again, most of them were – You won any one of those, you were on the cover of a magazine somewhere. But I know that after coming back from China in 82, I just decided that, you know, I don't want to compete anymore. It had been about 10 years. I thought the best folks I had competed against, a lot of them were right here in my area, Mid-Atlantic area, but they just couldn't afford to do all this traveling. So I started the U.S. Capital Classics, which turned into a whole nother circuit. We had went through a lot of different names, but eventually ended up being North American Sports Karate, NASCA. And because of that, I got a chance to, I've spent 30 years sitting on the board with people like Joe Corley and at the Battle of Atlanta, tournaments I competed against, the Diamond National, which I competed in, but thought it was the major, most amazing thing in the world. And here I'm sitting across the table running a major tournament with Larry Conahan, but the Diamond Nationals, the McCoy and Sawyer from the U.S. Open, for God's sake. But most of the big, big events of that time, I've either had a chance to compete in and now I get a chance to actually run an event with, be on the board with. So, you know, I can name a bunch of tournaments I've won, but like most of us, I probably at one point had 600-700 first-place trophies in my basement. I thought I was a bad, bad man. But I look at what's happening on the circuit now and said, my God, we started something that has grown into, you know, a major, major event here, a major sport. So I couldn't name one, but I've done a lot of big ones, a lot of them.
Okay. How has your life changed or enhanced as a result of participating in some of those events?
Well, again, it first of all, if you're just a little guy that competes in your little neighborhood or your little community and you think you're the biggest dog on the block, it humbles you real quick because you go out there and you start competing. I know when I went to mainland China, I had kind of the same feeling I had the first time I started going to major tournaments because I was winning everything locally. that I competed in. I mean, forms, weapons, everything I did, I was winning. And all of a sudden, I went to the Battle of Atlanta, and I had the same experience in China. You saw these guys competing, and the first thing you thought to yourself is, okay, I'm okay. I'm not that good, but I'm not as good as I thought I was, but I'm okay. It changed your life because it changed you for the better, because you either wither away or you go back to the gym and say, I thought I was doing a good job, but I need to train harder. And you become a better martial artist. I think it made me a better martial artist. It made me a better person. It taught me how to achieve. You know, it made me believe that I can beat these guys. I just need to work harder. And I think it teaches you lessons, life lessons, that you won't get unless you go out and compete against the best. You can stay in your own little area and say, well, I'm the big dog. Everybody knows me. Or you can venture out and meet some of the best folks in the world and learn from them. And I think that has been my story. I'm very blessed that I've had a chance to work with or work for some of the best martial artists around. And to this day, I'm still amazed when I go out on the circuit, when I travel on the circuit. Like I said, I've probably been to 10 major tournaments this year already. And that's not counting my local events. But every one of them, I leave there thinking, wow, this next generation has surpassed even what we did. And we thought we were pretty bad guys back in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and now 2000 and 2010. Seems like a lot of decades there. But, you know, it's still exciting to me. It still excites me and gives me a sense of pride to know, to be able to say, you know what, I'm a martial artist.
Okay, as we, you know, sort of wrap up, what would you say your philosophy to the martial arts? What is your philosophy to the martial arts?
Well, you know, I was talking to a bunch of my new black belts that I just met, that I just promoted last week, and I remember telling them, because there's so many lessons in martial arts, that, you know, I don't believe that somebody gives you a black belt. You know, somebody comes in my school and say, well, you know, I used to study martial arts, or I used to study martial arts. And I tell them that I used to be a martial artist. I said, no, you didn't. I said, well, you know, I used to be a martial artist. I said, no, you weren't. See, could you understand that if you were ever a martial artist, you're always a martial artist. Well, my thought was that if you say I used to do martial arts, that doesn't mean you were a martial artist. You just took some martial arts class. Because if you were a musician or a guitarist, even if you put it down for 5 years or 10 years, you don't say, I'm not a musician anymore. I'm not an artist anymore. I'm not a singer anymore. I'm just not doing it now. So if you tell me I used to be a martial artist, I tell them, no, you were never a martial artist. Because once you're an artist, you're always an artist. Other than that, you just took some classes at the gym or someplace. The same thing I tell the black belts. Black belt is not something somebody gives you. And one guy, I know he thought he was speaking up. He said, oh, I understand, Master Brown, nobody gives you a black belt. You have to earn it. And most people would agree with that, except me. I tell him, no, you don't earn a martial arts, a black belt either. Well, what do, sir? But my belief is that a black belt is something that you become. You become a black belt. That is somebody who strives for excellence in everything you do, work, school, family. I don't care what you do, how you eat, how you drive. You strive towards excellence in everything you do because you are a black belt. And once you understand that, it doesn't matter which system, what style you do, what path of life you take, you will always be a black belt. And that the lesson of that will carry you through the rest of your life. If you just understand, become a black belt. It's not something we'll give you. You don't earn it. You become that and you live it. That is, you can't say when I'm in the gym, I'm a black belt and I go through my stuff. But if you see me out of the club and I'm drunk and I'm acting a fool and I'm acting this, so you'll never see that. The person you see in my dojo, in my kun, you will see at the Safeway, you will see at the club, you will see I am always Master Brown. I will always be that martial artist and I will carry myself as a black belt because that is who I am. It's not a job that I do while I'm working during the day, and I'm somebody else in the evening, if that makes any sense.
Yes, sir, it certainly does. And I think this is very important that, you know, that our young martial artists, you know, we're in a different generation. But even though we're in a different generation, we still have the moral things that separates us as a black belt. Because, you know, as a black belt, we should be practicing honor, respect, courtesy, focus, confidence, you know, self-discipline. We are to display, you know, these things. And this is what makes us a martial artist. This is what makes us totally different and what makes us unique. So I think that's very important. And these are the things, just like we're talking today, that we want for our who's who legends in the martial arts. These are the hidden stories that are missing. You know, a lot of young people, young martial artists, they're trying to find that story. They don't, they're examples of the old traditional ways of doing the hard work and the hard study and that determination. And this is the reason why, you know, the NASCAR events and the sporting events out there, there's a whole new evolution of martial artists. And, you know, to be complimented on their performance, on their determination, that's why at the Battle of Atlanta, you know, at your event, you know, you have to go to these events, because if you're not, if you're at a martial arts school, and I would encourage instructors to take their students to events like these so they can sort of see, and their students can see the next level or next evolution. You know, you can be a Volkswagen and you're the fastest car in town because you haven't seen a Ferrari, but that's what growth is about. You have to discover these things so you can now set your vision, your goals, and your standards on higher quality to come to this next level of competition that advances out there. And we're very grateful for, you know, the Battle of Atlanta, your event, because these have been the testing grounds for martial artists to improve themselves. Like I said, the trophies, they all fall over. I never can figure out how they can unscrew themselves, but, you know, the axis of the earth, I guess. Those are things that sort of happen, and what are we left with? We're left with, you know, that empowerment. And once a martial artist, always a martial artist. And you just have to learn to step up and now engage yourself to that next level.
Right, absolutely. And again, but competition is good. But I tell you, I'm a little worried about where we're going, and I'm hoping that we're going to readjust our direction, because, you know, there's a crew or feeling now that martial artists or some styles are not really good martial artists, or we don't need all them katas, we don't need all them forms, we don't need all that ceremony and yes sir and no sir, all that stuff. Just teach me how to fight. And the best martial artist is the guy who's the best guy in the ring, the best guy in the cage, the best guy in the ropes, the best guy on the platform. And again, fighting, if it sounds a little crazy, but fighting is a big part of it. You have to be able to defend yourself. But fighting is not the only way to defend yourself. If you can beat everybody in the neighborhood and everybody in the ring, and at 40 you're dead because you don't eat correctly, or you don't live a good life, or you can't deal with stress, or you can't get a job, you're still dead. How did you defend yourself? What part of your black belt defended you from you? I think that the real martial arts prepares you for life. I don't want to be, I tell my kids, I don't want you to be out here 18 and old in the ring, but at about 26 you can barely walk because you haven't taken care of yourself, or you, the art has shortened your life. The you know, you got guys have bad health from just joints, and just everything has gotten beat up from what's going on with the art now. You win, you get notoriety, but are you learning lessons that's going to make you live longer? It's going to live, improve the quality of your life, not who made the biggest paycheck. Or, and I just didn't come up, and keep in mind, I did full contact fighting. I did all the tournaments and weapons and all that stuff. So I understand it. I'm in the ring. I'm out there in the audience yelling as much as anybody. But it worries me that it will turn eventually into just that, where all we're talking about is just who is the roughest fighter in the neighborhood. And I tell my students, that doesn't have anything to do with the martial arts. That's a hobby that we do, things that we go out and do for fun. We go out and fight. We go out and compete. We go out and break boards. We demonstrate weapons and all like that. But for me, and it takes a longer show to get into it, but for me, martial arts is way over that. If I stop doing all of that, I would still be a martial artist. And I tell people, ask yourself, whatever you consider your art, whatever your training, whether it's MMA, whether it's grappling, whether it's kung fu, whether it's taekwondo, if you stopped doing that today, would you still be a martial artist? And some folks would say, well, if I'm not fighting, am I still in? Because I would be a martial artist because it's how I live my life. If I never left my backyard, I would still be a martial artist, and I would train just as hard in the art. And so I challenge folks, as you said, we started earlier, to be students of the art. Study everything about the art. Become experts in that art. Become griots of that art. Be able to talk about it other than just who I beat last or who I didn't beat or who I got beat by, because those guys aren't going to be challenging you in the street anyway. It's life that's going to be challenging. And if the martial arts doesn't make you a better person, if it doesn't improve your character, if you aren't strong mentally, physically, and spiritually because of the training that you're getting in martial arts, then the training and the instructor have failed you, if that makes sense.
You know, yes, sir, that truly, you know, I truly believe that, and that's the reason why, you know, for the past 40 years, my dedicating myself to the teaching, the training, and to sharing of the knowledge, because as a martial artist, and as we grow, it's the sharing of the martial arts. And so many great martial artists have passed to the wayside, that's taken their brilliancy and their systems and all their knowledge with them. So if you don't share something, then it just, you know, it fades away. And our search of great martial artists before that have already passed on, it's really hard to find someone that remembers them. And that's what is so important. And just like with yourself, you know, your bios all over the internet, your accomplishments are there. And they're not things that you necessarily put out there yourself, but there are things that the world needs to know who is, you know, Grandmaster Brown, you know, his accomplishment. What success models has he made that I really need to follow? And what I'd like to do is, you know, at a later time is to sit down with you and let's talk about the business model, because I think that's another important part, because the longevity of your livelihood and the things that we do in the martial arts, and as I said before, you know, when you serve enough people, then, you know, your life is taken care of. You know, that you are actually in a good place, and the more people, you know, that you serve, you know, it's an important part, and that's the reason why, you know, understanding the business model of the martial arts and how to be able to make that model work, that you can provide the facility for your students to come in and learn the martial arts and, you know, learn to study the martial arts. So that's very important. Sometimes people forget, you know, that part. They look at one part, but they don't look at the other. In manifesting their dreams, they have to make a total connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, again, that's a blessing I've had, because I've been running the U.S. Capitol Classics with the tournament with NASCA for 34 years. But I've also, and I'm a founding member of NASCA, but I'm also a founding member, most guys don't realize, of Educational Funding Company. I've been with them 35 years, and I'm one of the founding members, the oldest board member with them to this date, 35 years. And they were the ones who actually started, turned this from just little dojos in the basements and churches and what have you, and turned them into, people have multi-million dollar businesses now because of Nick Kokinas and what he brought to it from the dance field into martial arts, and taught June Rhee how to do chain schools and how to grow your schools and how you do. And I've got a chance to set across the board all those years from some of the top minds, the Kovars, the Steve Olivers with NAPMA, the Maya people, you name them, Jeff Smith, they all started with this group. And for 35 years, I got to set aside and talk about just how you run your business, because again, that's self-defense also. So we'd love to come back and talk to you.
That is totally awesome. Hey, what is the date of your event, sir?
The U.S. Capitol Classics is the 12th and 13th of August, and this will be our 34th year. Believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying that, 34th year of running this event. And it's going to be an amazing event. It's NASCA has 5A, 4A, 3A, 2, but they only have 4 6A events, and Capitol Classics is one of those. The Diamond National is Larry Conahan, the president, and the one in compete out in California and the U.S. Open. And I was able to slide in there with the Capital Classics as a 6A tournament. So it's a big event. Beautiful place here. It's one of the four Gaylord hotels on the harbor in D.C. So I tell people to check it out. It's not just a martial arts tournament, but for most people, it's like the U.S. Open. It's a vacation spot to come to, and it's going to be a beautiful event this year. Hope you're going to be able to get up, my brother.
I will, sir. I'm putting that on my calendar. I've already put it on my calendar. Definitely, you know, in really enjoying this relationship and also looking at how the AMAA, how we can work together to help promote and get people to travel outside the North Carolina, South Carolina circuit and, you know, have a different experience. As we said before, you have to go places and have experiences so you can determine how you want to grow in the future.
Exactly. And, you know, I tell my guys, if you want to be the best, you've got to go out and compete against the best. I make my kids, they're a little nervous because, you know, the big names come out to the Capital, U.S. Capital Classics. But I tell them, then they say, well, you know, Master Brown, do we have a chance to win against those guys? And yes, you do. But you don't if you don't come out and find out what your competition looks like. You may not beat them today, but the next year, once you get a chance to see the best, it prepares you to train to beat the best. You can't train to beat the best if you don't know what they do. So I tell folks, come on out to the Battle of Atlanta. Come on out to U.S. Capital Classics and a lot of the big tournaments. But start off, make sure you support the art. Because I heard you say your events are first part of May. So I wrote that on my little thing to see if I can't get the whole date so I can find out that you said the first part of May every year when you were talking about the family reunion. See, so I caught that. And I told myself, that gives me an excuse to get down there and see some of my people and maybe get a chance to bring some students and see just another element of the art. But I encourage them to come out and compete. Don't be afraid. Don't say, I haven't competed long enough or these people are too good. The only way you get a chance to be the best is you have to compete against the best and train to beat the best.
And that's motivational for the instructors because, you know, every instructor wants their student to sit up at the first place of all the podiums. So as martial arts instructors, we have to work very hard to gain this knowledge so we can help our students. You know, Grandmaster Brown, I'd like to thank you so much for being on our call today. And also, you know, look forward to, you know, seeing you at the AMAA Nationals in Charlotte. You're going to be in our book. In fact, you know, we're putting your picture on the cover of our book because, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to, you know, to hear your story, and it really motivates me to go out and work even harder. So, everyone, this is Jesse Bowen. Thank you again for listening into our show. And Grandmaster Brown, if you would, how about leaving, you know, is there a contact number that you would like to leave just in case that someone wants to get up with you, be in contact with you, and, you know, ask you questions or anything like that?
Not a problem. Whether the question is about me, my school, my life, or the U.S. Capital Classics, it's all the same. It's 301-336-7000, 301-336-7000, or they can actually, I forget, we're in this day and age, they can just go to www.uscapitalclassics.com, just U.S. Capital Class, and that's capital with an O. You know, I spelled it with an O rather than an A, the word capital, because I don't know a lot of people know, but us D.C. people, we know, the only capital spelled with an O is the one down in Washington, D.C. That's actually the building. Everybody has a capital, but there's only one Capitol. So if they go on to U.S. Capital Classics, they can get all the information on any, and I'd be happy, believe it or not, I'd be happy to talk to anybody that wants to check in. And again, let me thank you, brother.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. And everyone, you know, tune into the Battle of Atlanta. It's going to be coming up this upcoming weekend in June and the 17th. So come out, enjoy. It's going to be a lot of things going on. You know, meet some of the masters and grandmasters. And remember, always empower yourself in the martial arts. Be a student. Study, learn, and grow from that. If you have questions about your business, organization, instruction, you can also give me a call. Again, that's Jesse Bowen. And my telephone number is area code 919-489-6100. And you can also just email me And you can email us at info@the-amaa.com. This is Jesse Bowenson. Have a blessed day, and we will see you in the future.